on trial. He's standing before Pilate. And Jesus has been accused by the Jews before Pilate. They accused him of being an insurrectionist, being someone claiming to be a king. And of course, there was already a king. And so to claim to be a king when there's already a king, that makes you a revolutionary. And that's what they accused Jesus of being. They knew very well that he wasn't, in the sense that they intended for Pilate to take it. And Pilate knew it too. Pilate figured out pretty quickly that what the Jews were saying about Jesus, what the priests and the lawyers were saying about Jesus, wasn't true. But he had to play along with them, and so he asked Jesus a question. He says, "Are you a king?" And Jesus told the truth. He's the witness of truth. John 18:37, we read, Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Well, again, Pilate did not believe that Jesus was the insurrectionist that he was being portrayed to be, but he had to ask the question, "Are you king?" Jesus said, "Yes, I am." And he goes on to qualify it, you know, "My kingdom is not of this earth," and so on and so forth. But that was enough. That was enough for Pilate to condemn Jesus, even though he knew he wasn't guilty. Jesus told the truth. He told the truth because that's what he came to do, to tell the truth. It got him killed. When the high priest said, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God?" Jesus said, "Yes, I am." When he stood before Pilate and Pilate said, "Are you a king?" He said, "Yes." And based on no one's testimony except his own, Jesus was convicted. He told the truth. Because that's what he came to do. Jesus came to tell the truth, and he did. I want to talk about that for a few moments this morning. "For this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Do you believe that about Jesus?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Do you believe that Jesus tells you the truth? You should. What reason does he have to lie? At the moment when his life was in the balance and he was staring at a scourging and a beating and being nailed to the cross and dying an agonizing death, and it was only his word that was going to be based on, he told the truth. You don't think he tells you the truth? He absolutely does. Jesus always speaks the truth. You know, truth is a rare commodity in this world. People lie all of the time. And it's gotten to be where you hear something on the news and you don't know whether to believe it's true or not. If the people in the news said that the sun was bright, you'd have to go outside and look up to see if it had gone dark. You just don't know. You don't know who to believe. We used to have this saying. People would say it, I don't know. You know, someone would say something and somebody would say, "Is that true?" And they say, "Is the Pope Catholic?" Honestly, I don't know whether he is or not anymore. He's pretty much gone off the rails with regard to Catholicism. So I don't know. You know, people, you don't know who to believe, who to trust. But you can trust Jesus. One of the times that the people who were out to get him came to question him, to try to trip him up, try to, you know, get him to say something out of line. They came to him, and it says the lawyers, the Herodians, they came to Jesus, and they said in Matthew 22:16, they said, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any." Now, I'm not sure they meant that sincerely, but it's true. It was absolutely true. And they kind of actually probably did know that that was true, because Jesus didn't play favorites, and he didn't try to butter people up or to play party lines or to put spin on things. And they knew that about Jesus. Do you know that about Jesus? That when he tells you something, he has no self-interest. The man on the cross has nothing to lose. You understand that, right? Everybody around Jesus lied. These lawyers, these Herodians, these priests, they lied. They got false witnesses to come to his trial and lie about Jesus. They accused him of things before Pilate that weren't true. Pilate lied when he condemned a man he knew was innocent. Jesus' own disciple, Peter, lied when someone said, "You're one of his followers." He said, "No, I'm not." The only man in the whole story who told the truth was Jesus. The man on the cross has nothing to lose. He was impartial then. He was honest then. He's honest now. He tells you the truth. You need to know that about Jesus. He'll tell you the truth about morality. Now, oftentimes, you know, we go straight to doctrine. He teaches true doctrine. But the truth of the matter is, everything that Jesus said was true. And when he says that something is a sin, it's a sin. And you can put all the spin on it you want to. You can try to say, "Oh, that, you know, that was just kind of the culture that they lived in, or that was just kind of the..." Jesus did not leave his Father and come into this world and live as a human being and walk up and down our roads and live a hard life and die a hard death in order to put spin on something. He didn't come down here to just reaffirm some cultural moray, some confusion that people had about something. Jesus came to speak the truth. And he speaks the truth on morality. The world doesn't want to accept it. They're the ones that are the liars. John 8:34, Jesus said, "Truly, truly," and that's something Jesus said often, didn't he? "Truly, truly." In Greek, it's amen, amen, lego humen. Amen, amen. Just like the amen we got a few minutes ago. That's the truth. Amen, amen. I tell you, when you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. That's the truth. Sin is not liberating. Sin does not make you a free person. Sin does not give you a better life. Sin does not make you noble or brave. Sin makes you a slave. That's the truth. And the man who's telling you that would not lie to you about that. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Matthew 5:32. They came to Jesus. They said, "Can a man divorce his wife for any cause?" And Jesus said, "No." That was unpopular. It was unpopular then. It's unpopular now. Matthew 5:32. "I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And that's the truth. That's the truth. "What God has joined together, let not man put under." That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, why would Jesus lie about that? And you know, he doesn't just talk truth about morality in general or in, you know, hypotheticals, when he talked to people, individuals, he would tell them the truth about their own lives. And that's uncomfortable, and that's not easy to do, and it's the kind of thing that we kind of avoid, because who wants to get into that, you know? But Jesus did. Jesus would confront people about their own sin, and he'd tell them the truth about it. The example of the woman at the well in Samaria, he cared about the woman. He wanted to try to save the woman. I think he did. But he did it by telling her the truth about her own life. John 4 and verse 17, Jesus said to her, "You're right saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." What you've said is true. She says, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You're right. You're right. You've had five husbands, and you're living with a guy, and he's not your husband." That's the truth. Now, most people would be offended by that. A lot of people would be offended by that. But the fact of the matter is it was true. Is the truth offensive? The truth is only offensive to people who can't accept the truth. But Jesus was going to still tell the truth. You may not want to listen to me, the preacher, or the elders, or the church. You may not want to listen. But you've got to listen to Jesus. Because he tells the truth. And you know it. He would, of course, teach truth about doctrinal error, because not everything that's taught is true. Not everything that people believe is true. And Jesus would teach the truth. And when that truth conflicted with what people thought or believed, he would say, "That's not true what you believe. That's not true what you're teaching." He would do that because he's a witness of the truth. And truth has to confront error. That's the nature of truth. What good is truth if you can't speak the truth and be honest and open about the truth just because somebody believes something differently? Does the truth suddenly go away? Does the truth suddenly become something that we have to hide because somebody may not like it or may not accept it? It can't be that way. Jesus did not come into this world to obfuscate and to hem and haw and to say, "Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings." That's not why Jesus... You think the man on the cross is going to be affected by someone's feelings? John 4:22, to the same woman in Samaria, the woman who worshiped God in a way that wasn't right, he said, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." And that was the truth. The worship that she was engaged in was wrong. It was not acceptable to God. And that was the truth. And he told the woman the truth. What good would it have done her to lie to her? What good would it have done for Jesus to say, "Well, you know, you have your worship, and we have our worship, and it's all good"? That wouldn't be true. It wasn't true. You can see it wasn't true. Jesus told the truth. What can we do? What should we do except speak the truth? The truth about worship. The truth about the Word of God. How do we honor Jesus, the one who stood there and spoke the truth and died because of it? How do we honor him by hiding that truth? We betray him. Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus told the Sadducees, he said, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." Now, it'd be so much easier to say, "Well, you know, you've got your view on that." Their view was there was no resurrection of the dead, but they weren't right about it. They were wrong about that. And Jesus said, "You know what? You're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about." Now, there's a loving way, a good way, an effective way, a better way, of telling someone they're wrong than a way that's offensive and unnecessarily confrontational. I mean, you can be as kind and nice as you can possibly be about it, but sometimes, oftentimes, we have to tell people what you believe is not what the scriptures teach. Let me show you. And however the most effective way of communicating that to somebody that you can find, good for you. But it can never be an option to say, well, you know, you think that and I think that, and you know, you're okay the way you are and we're okay the way we are. That's not true. If a person is in religious error, it's not true. Jesus wouldn't have lied like that. He told the truth about false leaders, and there were plenty of them in his own day, and they're the ones who killed him. And Jesus says about them a lot of things in Matthew 23, but we'll just read verse 15 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now these guys were heavy hitters. They were teachers. They were rabbis. They were scholars. They were guys who studied the law of God their whole lives, who had credentials, who had authority, who had positions of status and respect in the community, and Jesus says, you're a bunch of liars and hypocrites. Because it was true. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Now, this is what Jesus said in the temple, in the courtyard of the temple, with throngs of people surrounding him, and the lawyers and the Pharisees and the priests listening. And he said this a couple of days before they killed him. And they killed him because he said stuff like this. He spoke the truth. They killed him for it. You understand that, right? He told the truth about himself. That's what he was doing there during his trial. In John 8:14, he says, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know. You don't know where I came from, where I'm going. You know, people say all kinds of things about Jesus today. Academics, scholars, you know, philosophers, people say things about Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They make pronouncements about who Jesus was or wasn't, or what he said or what he didn't say. They don't know. But Jesus knew. Jesus said, I know who I am. And like I said, when he was questioned, you know, he told the truth. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Is he lying about that? He's going to die the next day. Could have run away. If he was a charlatan, if he was a fraud, if he was just making it up, he could have just run away. He didn't do it. He said, I am. I am the way, the truth and the life. He's not lying about that. And he tells us the truth about salvation. And this is where it starts to hit home to you. I hope that it does. That there is something at stake in this world. And it's you. It's me. Our souls. That's the only thing that is at stake in this world. The economy doesn't mean anything. Governments, policies, laws, legislature, borders, treaties, none of that matters. There is something at stake. Your eternal soul. And Jesus is going to speak some truth to you right now about that. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he said, truly, 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 I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Believe that? You should. You have to be born of water. And if you don't know what that means, then you should find out what it means. Jesus explains what it means later on when he says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Born of water. There's got to be some water in your life. You've got to be born of water and born of the Spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth. John 4 and verse 23, in talking to that woman at the well in Samaria, he says, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." If you want to be saved, you're going to have to worship in spirit and in truth. You've got to be born of spirit and born of water. You've got to worship in spirit and worship in truth. There's some truth about worship that you need to factor into your life. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed, He says, "If you abide in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." To be a true disciple of Jesus, you have to abide in His teaching. And anything that's not based on the teaching of Jesus is not true. And lies won't set you free. John 8:51, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever obeys My word will never see death." Are you obeying the teaching of Jesus or are you ignoring it? Matthew 18 and verse 3, and He said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." People have to change. People don't want to change. Now, you can find lots of people who will lie to you and who will tell you, "You don't have to change. Just stay the way you are. Just live the way that you're living. Do all the things that you're doing. Enjoy all of your choices. Just say a prayer now and then. You know, just maybe go to a service now and then. Tell people you believe in Jesus, but just do whatever you want to, live however you want to, and just say you believe in Jesus and you'll be fine." And that's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus says, "You've got to obey Me. Follow Me. Follow My teaching." That's the truth. Jesus always spoke the truth. He's speaking the truth to you today. And if you don't believe Me, you've read the passages. You make of them what you will. They're true. Question is, do you believe Him? Do you believe Jesus? Because that's what it comes down to, of course, is whether or not you believe the truth. Because Jesus can speak the truth all day long, but if you're not willing to accept it, it's not going to do you a lot of good. And that's what He said to Pilate there in John 18:37. "Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." Now the question that you have to answer for yourself today is, do you hear the voice of Jesus? And that will determine your commitment to the truth. And again, in John 3:21, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Of course, living by the truth is not easy. You've got to be honest. You've got to be honest about your sins, about your motivations, about why you've been doing what you've been doing. And you've got to come clean on that and be honest, because the man on the cross demands it. He demands it. Come into the light. Live the truth, or hide in the darkness, and there you shall stay forever. John 8, 45 and 46, "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe Me. Can any of you prove Me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Why? Well, that's my message. That's my message. Are you born of the water and of the Spirit? Are you worshiping in spirit and truth? Are you following the teaching of Jesus? It's the truth. And the man on the cross would never lie to you. If you want to come into the light, live according to the truth today. That man will save you. He's the only one who can. And he's been honest with you. Will you be honest with him? Come forward and say what he said. He said, I am the Christ. Come forward and say it. Be honest. Come do it now while we stand and sing this song to encourage you.